All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. As I was driving in this morning, I realized that it will be 20 years next year that I've been doing talk radio out of the 35 years that I've been privileged to be with WTLC and Black Radio here in Indianapolis. And when we started the Old Noon Show back in 1992, we got the idea from being traveling on business in Washington and trying to find out what was going on in Chocolate City at the time, and I turned on this AM radio called WOL. And in the morning, there was this lady named Kathy Hughes that talked about everybody and everything, and I knew more about what was going on in Washington, D.C. than anything. And then I found out she owned the station, was the general manager, the sales manager, did windows. And I said to myself, if that lady could do morning drive on the radio, talk to people in the community, I could be on during lunchtime, walk up from my office, go into the studio. And that's kind of how this journey as part of my career started. And after all these years, it is an honor and a privilege to have sitting next to me somebody that's partly a role model. Her company, Radio One, the largest black-owned broadcasting media company in the country. They now have the record of having the longest ownership of WTLC, of all of the owners of WTLC's 42 years, not only local ownership, Emma's for a bit, Reagan Henry, who we both knew very, very well, but Radio One now going on 12 years. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. And it is an honor and a privilege to have Sister Kathy Hughes, the founder, the big boss, here, and also joining her, Deanna Williams from our sister station, WRNB in Philly. They think they're the best R&B station in the country, but now you're here with TLC now. You in high cotton. But ladies, first of all, thank you. Welcome. Miss H, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you very much. I didn't realize that I had inspired you to do this. Because you are really doing it good. Aretha Franklin loves you. Every time I see her, she's like, I can't wait till I get in the Midwest so I can hear Amos Brown.
Oh, my goodness. Let me first start. I did not realize the connection. I'd heard it from some of the staff of Kappa that you and this historic black institution, Piney Woods, have a lot of connections. This is one of the Kappa's favorite charities, and is one of the reasons you're here, but as well as to come in and socialize and have fun at this point.
Well, Kappas were only 3 years old when my grandfather pledged. My grandfather was the first African-American graduate of the University of Iowa, and went all the way through, got his PhD. Actually, it was the EdD that he got at that time. When you look at the early pictures of some of the Kappa events, and they're like only 30, 40 men there. My granddaddy's one of those 30, 40 men, right? He pledged in 1914.
3 years after this thing was founded here. And for those who aren't familiar with Piney Woods, what is it?
Piney Woods Country Life School, after my grandfather, number one, let me say to you some information some people aren't aware of, and that is that all Africans did not come to America as slaves. There was a large number of Africans who were brought over as skilled craftsmen, and they were settled in the Midwest. It was safe territory. It wasn't the South. It wasn't the North. They put them in the Midwest. Many of them owned slaves themselves. Thank God my family was not one of them. But my grandfather was the baby of eight children. The seven of his older siblings were all girls, and they were determined to educate their baby brother. And the story is that they took him to the University of Iowa and said, we want our baby brother to attend school, and they didn't want him. And so they just arbitrarily pulled a figure out of their head and said, it'll cost you $10,000 for him to get a college degree. And my aunts had a bag, and in that bag was something like $15,000. And they said, we got the money, educate our baby brother. Well, once he graduated from college, they expected big things. He was going to be rich. He was going to be a leader. He was going to do all these things. And his grandfather, Prior Foster, had started a school in Michigan many years before. And he wanted to be like his grandfather. So he got on a train, went to Mississippi, and found that the overwhelming majority of the residents of the state, both black and white, could not read or write. They were illiterate. So he decided that he would spend the rest of his life in Mississippi teaching black people how to read and write. And out of that grew what is now a 102-year-old institution, the Piney Woods Country Life School. And 2 years ago, the Kappa brothers pledged to raise $1 million for the Piney Woods School. At one time, there were 38 boarding schools in America. Now there are only four left. Again, a fact that a lot of African Americans are unaware of is that boarding schools were the institutions of learning for people of color, because black folks were working 2-3 jobs. There was nobody at home with the children. They sent the children off, and public education sucked for black folks even back then. This whole dilemma that we have with public education being terrible, it was terrible back then. It's always been less than adequate for people of color. So they sent their children to boarding schools. There were 38 of them at one time in the United States. Now we're down to 4. Piney Woods is the second oldest, but it is probably the largest and the most financially secure. And when I say financially secure, it doesn't mean that they're well off, because we have...
It's not Harvard.
No, exactly. Not at all. We're still having to raise money for them. In fact, tomorrow, the Kappas are having an incredible fundraiser for the Piney Woods School from 3 to 4:30, and it's going to be...
Be here at the in the Sagamore Ballroom upstairs on the second floor of this great facility. Is there an admission?
No admission, but we hope that everyone...
We'll pass the plate.
We're going to pass the plate. We hope that you will either bring your checkbook or some cash. And we still educate close to 300 kids each year. We have a 99% college placement rate, and that 1% that do not go on to college go into the military, because we have an active ROTC program. So because of my grandfather's legacy, we've had 4 presidents in the 102-year history of Piney Woods School. All 4 have been Kappa men. So Piney, and every summer, the Kappas have what they call Kappa Camp. And they send a group of young men to Piney Woods for the summer. And the thing that you have to realize is Piney Woods is for children who come from challenging backgrounds. At one time, challenging background meant they were poor. These were smart black kids, but they were living in poverty. Well, now challenging for a lot of these young people has nothing to do with economics. They arrive with $5,000 studs in their ears because their daddies are drug dealers. And their mama doesn't know how to cook. Okay, and they're still making A's, although they're basically raising themselves. So even though things have changed, and their parents don't have an emphasis, usually they come from single mama households. The mamas don't have any type of emphasis on educating their children. And so we take them and we provide everything. And 89% of our students pay no tuition. So we raise the money, we educate them, and we get them in every major university in America, all the way from Howard University to Harvard.
People are hearing you now, and they hear the passion. And they're now starting to connect. Oh, that's the passion that I heard when I heard this lady's voice on reality radio and talking about the survival of black radio that was threatened. Now she's talking about it. Passion has always been a part of your life.
Oh, absolutely. As I was sharing with you, I mean, for generations, my family has believed that it is possible to do good for your community and do well for yourself at the same time. Because the only thing that Reverend Ike ever said that I really firmly believed in is that the best thing that you can do for someone who is in need is not be in need yourself when they come to you and ask for assistance. And so we have always concentrated on trying to make certain that we were in a position to be of assistance to other individuals, and that's been the mission of my family for many, many, many generations and many, 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 many years.
Speaking of that service, speaking about helping, you're doing something for the administration, for the Small Business Administration, where you are the chair of their Council on Underserved Communities.
The president very graciously appointed me the chairperson of this SBA committee that we are hopeful will help to identify how the SBA, the Small Business Administration, can help businesses. That we did a survey, as you well know, Amos, 3 years ago now, and in that survey, it was the most extensive research project ever done on the African-American community, 3,400 participants. And one of the things that we found was that young people between the ages of 18 and 34 don't want to work in corporate America. They still believe in getting a good education, but they want that education for the benefit of working for themselves. Well, when the economy isn't producing jobs as, hey, the American economy is not producing jobs now. That's why unemployment is so high. So what do? You create a job for yourself. And if you're successful enough to create a job for yourself, then you also are creating jobs for other individuals who will work for you. And so that's going to be the emphasis of this committee, is how to help some young people go in business, help some businesses that are already established plug into the SBA system, and to really help identify for the federal government the problems that individuals in business are experiencing, because where it breaks down, quite frankly, is at the lending institution level. The federal government, the president, bailed all of these financial institutions out, and then they left small businesses sitting on the curb, and they went back to giving themselves major bonuses after they paid the money back to the government. Well, that has not helped the American economy, and if this government does not do something about this high unemployment rate, we no longer will be the greatest economic power in the world.
Are you optimistic about the future? You pessimistic?
Oh, no, I'm always optimistic. I always see the glasses half full. I learned that from my dear sister here, Deanna Williams, who taught me how to be optimistic. I used to get really frazzled, and I'd get upset. And she was a young mother, and I'd run over to her house to complain about everything from A to Z. And she'd say, sit down, and let me make you a cup of chamomile tea.
Amos, it's a pleasure to be here with you. Yes, the tea. And, you know, tea is calming, and she needed to be calm at that point. She was in the process of building her company and implementing her vision, and I'm proud to say that I've been a part of it pretty much from the beginning, because we met at WHUR when Ms. Hughes was the sales manager, general sales manager, right? Was that your title? Then she became the general manager. So I have seen the company grow from a concept. And at one time, her goal was to employ 1,000 African-American men and women and broadcasters, because we have diversity in our company. We have Caucasian people. We have Asian people, Latino.
I bet there's the HR person over there, too.
That's the one Asian? No, we have more than one. No, I didn't know that. No, but...
Excuse me, what we don't have is a second microphone. Our third microphone is what we don't have. Now, Chuck Williams, I get these good reports, our general manager, about how Indianapolis is balancing their budget. I now understand how you all are doing it.
I bet one thing. I bet I'm going to have a new microphone in a day or two. This will help.
More microphones, yeah. We have many microphones at 107.9 WRNB in Philadelphia, WRNB, my station. FYI, Amos, Mr. Williams. But it's an honor to be here because, as Ms. H just said, you have a reputation. Oh, here we go. We've got another microphone. You
need it doesn't work. It's just a prop.
It's a prop. Okay. No, I was saying it is an honor to be here with your audience, because you have been an institution here in this city for the longest time. And we, are, of course, are here gathered for the Kappas for the 100th anniversary, the conclave. Are you a Kappa?
No. I'm just
No. Chuck, get me a Kappa to host this show.
What? But
Richard Snow, Mr. Kappa himself.
But they didn't tell you. But anyway, we have Richard's going to come over here and kind of help me out. 239-1310-239-1310. But if I don't take this break, I won't be able to have the revenue to pay for the microphone or whatever. We're with Kathy Hughes.
You mean we'll lose the one mic we have?
Oh no. My mic doesn't ever get lost, because then I really get upset. 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll fix the microphones. The pressure is on. We're with Kathy Hughes, the founder of Radio One. We're also with Deanna Williams from our sister station, WRNB. in beautiful Philadelphia. Pennsylvania, Richard Snow, the hard-working chief operating officer, just kind of hanging around for, with Kappa Alpha Psi. We're live at the Convention Center's Afternoons with Amos on a busy Wednesday.
This is Tricia Shepherd with RTV6, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light, Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
All right, welcome back. 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos with Kathy Hughes, our the founder. And chairwoman of the board of Radio 1 and TV 1 and other good and all the interactive one and everything. Let me go to the phones because of, you know, occasionally I have to talk to folks and it's an open line day and find out what's on people's minds. Let me go to Micah. Hi, Micah.
Hi, Amos Brown. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question for you. I'm a, I moved from these apartments on 21st and Post, Nottingham Village.
Mm-hmm.
Apartments, me and my family moved from them May the 1st of this year. And we were under the impression that we would receive our deposit back. I left the apartment immaculate. No damage to the property whatsoever. And per contract, I turned in a 30-day notice in April. I have the letter that I wrote to them. Telling them that I would be moving May the 1st, giving them a forwarding address.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, we've never received our deposit. Well, it's July now, and so something told me to call and see what's going on, and I find out that they're under new management.
Oh,
and
Lord.
The people that are owning the apartments now said that they're not responsible for paying us our deposit, but I want to know what steps do I need to take. I need my money.
Do you have anything in writing that says that that apartment complex had to give you your deposit back?
Well, I still have my lease.
You probably need
lease?
To. You need to have an attorney review your lease.
Okay.
To see exactly what it says. You can either go to Indiana Legal Services, that's Legal Aid, or you can call my good friends at the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
But a lawyer needs to look at the language in that lease.
Okay.
Okay? And then you could possibly go, depending on what they tell you, can take them to small claims court. But the key is what the key is how that lease is written.
Well, I even had them do a walkthrough before I moved out. I had a lady,
Did you take any pictures of the, did you take any pictures of the place as you were leaving?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I did not.
You see, that would help because the people that you
well,
did business with.
What I had done is the lady, I had the lady do a walkthrough. The office. She walked through with me and she signed a piece of paper saying that everything was okay, but now I can't find it. It's been 2 months and the only thing I can find is the letter that I gave them my notice that I was moving, and I still have a copy of my old lease, but
if
I cannot
find that paper
where she went through and did the last inspection.
If you can't find that paper, that's your evidence. And if you can't find that every there, and if they don't have a copy of it with that new management, then you got a problem. Have an attorney read your lease. Or you got a church home?
Yes.
Talk to your pastor. There may be an attorney that's a member of your church.
Okay.
That can kind of read the lease and give you advice, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-1310. This is what we do every day, helping folks.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And when you start talking about the Christian Law Center.
The Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic is an organization here that does legal services either on a free or reduced basis for people here in the community. And I know that comes up to one of the things that you're into now, and that is prayer and this website.
Well, it's not now. I've been praying a long time, but I've created a new website, and I hope that everyone out there will write it down. It's Christian5xTimers.com. And the reason we have the X there is that ultimately we're going to drop the word timers, and it'll just be Christian5x. We pray for peace collectively 5 times a day. Our prayers can be as short as, please God, grant us peace, or as long as the 23rd Psalm, but we pray at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m., 7 p.m., and 11 p.m., if that's convenient for you. If not, please designate the 5 times a day. But the good book teaches, if two or more are gathered in my name, I will hear from heaven and grant your petition. And we know we're up to 25,000 people now that are praying, so our voices are being multiplied and magnified as we ask for peace. We ask God to grant us peace in our lives, in our communities, in our families, in the environment. Most people do not realize that cutting down a tree is an act of violence. We need to be at peace with our environment because air and water are running out and people are not really focusing on that. But the ultimate is peace with our fellow man. We are at war at a level that is not being accurately reported in the media. We are fighting on 2, 3, 4 different war fronts. The violence in our streets. We have war going on in our inner city. Every morning when you get up, we're hundreds of black men less than the night when we went to bed before. The incarceration rate. We need to be at peace with ourselves, with our God, with our fellow man, men and women, with our environment. So whatever aspect of peace that you want, that you desire, that you think is necessary in your life, please join us. Go to the website. Doesn't cost you a thing. The only commitment that you have to make is that you will join us and pray for peace 5 times a day. There are other religions that require you to pray 5 times a day to stay in good standing. So I'm always like, well, Christians, we pray in the morning when we get up, maybe at night when we go to bed, if we get in trouble during the day. How about praying during the day to God and asking for things that are for the universal good, not just for your own individual needs? So once again, and I hope you'll keep reminding those who listen to you daily, Amos, to pray and to join Christian5XTimers.com.
Christian5XTimers.com. Christian5XTimers.com. I got to ask you, you were on with Tom Joyner the other week, and he asked you about writing a book, and you kind of said, kind of, sort of, maybe, maybe, kind of, sort of.
Well, I want you to know, my dear friend Deanna Williams.
She's writing a book.
No, she bought me a device. Tell them how many years ago.
Maybe 5 years ago, I was on a cruise. Actually, it was the Tom Joyner cruise. And my last official act was to call, order, purchase a device that would allow her to speak, Ms. H, to speak into it, and it would transcribe her speaking into text, because I have been encouraging her for the longest time to begin the process of documenting her memoirs. This woman here is, we're talking about the first African-American woman to take her company public. We're talking about so many historic first. When we talk about Piney Wood, she comes from a family of leadership and doers and achievers. And so she is just in a long line from her grandfather to her mother, who was a member of the International Sweethearts of Rhythm. They were just recently honored at the Smithsonian. Her father was the accountant to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, there's a history here and a story that is beyond Muhammad Ali as well. There's a story that's beyond her immediate success and that of her son Alfred Liggins and Radio One as we know it now. And I think it's a story of inspiration not just for Americans, but for people on a global level. It is truly the American success story.
Not only does it sound like a book, it sounds like the TV One movie of the week. I'm trying to think.
I like that. You think you could get me a role in the movie?
Yeah.
Who would play her?
Huh?
Who would play her?
Whoever she cut the deal with. I don't know. There's a lot of great actresses. And one of the things, whenever I've been privileged to talk to an author, is to ask, you wrote a great book, but when's it going to be a movie? Because that opens up more opportunity for us in terms of writing and acting and producing. And then that goes to TV One. Because, he dropped the dime that you interviewed him, which means that's coming up in the new season?
Absolutely. Verizon, How Sweet the Sound. is an incredible program. First time any major corporation ever has put over $100 million into the gospel industry. It's an incredible, incredible success story. And we're doing a TV one-on-one on Marvin Sapp, CeCe Winans, and Donald Lawrence because they are the three, host and judge. Marvin's the judge. He's the resident judge of the choir competition. But so smart of Verizon to bond with the church community. And, you know, I know you know, Amos, we over-index in texting and all of the devices. Young people as young as 3, 4, 5 years old running around with their Verizon device.
Why do advertisers, you know, they've always devalued the media that we work and serve for, but they really devalue media of faith?
It's so amazing because it's only black.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, evaluation. And, you know, I will be pitching a major client, and they'll say, well, we don't want to advertise in gospel radio. I said, why not? They'll say, well, you know, we're a car manufacturer, and we do expensive cars. I said, let me tell you something. Not only do those cars pull up every Sunday to the church parking lot, but the congregation will buy one of those cars and give it to the minister, and maybe if it's a large enough church, get a second one for the first lady. The church community, I mean, they sit in church on Sunday with $1,000 hats on. But I think that this bias against people who believe in God, who are of color. Now, the Christian music industry doesn't have this problem. Amy Grant and the folks that make millions of dollars in Christian, white Christian music. But think about this, Amos. How segregated is that? It's called gospel if it's black. It's called Christian if it's white.
And y'all think I get in trouble. And y'all think, see, now y'all know where I'm getting it from Ms. H. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon with Amos. I mean, look, we'll take a break, then we'll come back with our remaining moments. We'll take some more calls. It's Afternoons with Amos. Privilege to be here with the founder of Radio One, the founder of our company, Role Model. And you notice Ms. Hughes mentioned she goes, she could just sit on the south of France, but she's actively engaged and involved.
Excuse me, I would not be in France, honey. I'd be in Senegal, Africa.
Let the Kappa Church say amen on that one. We are having a ball. It's afternoon. I want 5% of every video that's being done here. It's afternoons with Amos after the...
This is Dr. Ian Smith from Celebrity Fit Club and the 50 Million Pound Challenge, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310 The Light, Indy's source for inspiration and praise.
All right, we're back live at the Convention Center with Kathy Hughes, the founder of Radio One, the host of TV One's One-on-One with Kathy Hughes. She was also honored last week at the Essence Music Fest, which was just totally off the hook, by my good friends at Mickey D's McDonald's. She was honored with the McDonald's 365 Black Award. And, you know, McDonald's, my favorite people in the whole Western world. Great honor.
It was incredible because Mary J. Blige, myself, Ben Jealous from the NAACP, Hank Thomas, who was a freedom rider, I told a story I've got to share with the audience. This was the most remarkable story. He was like, he always gets, and Ruby Dee. That was the best part, Ruby Dee. But Hank Thomas told the story that I've been telling repeating ever since. He said the reason he was a freedom rider was because his grandmother was a slave, and she got assigned to the big house, and the first day the master tried to rape her, and she resisted, and so they beat her so bad that she was off from work for 2 weeks. She healed, and they sent her back to the big house, and he tried to rape her a second time, and she resisted, and this time he beat her almost to death, that she was laid up recovering for almost 2 months. And when she recovered, they tried to send her back to the big house, and instead she went to the whipping post, and all of the women slaves surrounded her and said, and she was 12 years old, if you're going to beat her for not having sex with the master, beat us too, because we're no longer going to have sex with the master either. And the whole plantation had a revolution because of this one little 12-year-old girl who was brave enough to say no to the master.
tomorrow, you'll have, everybody that's ever had one of the opportunity, you know, I'd love to meet Kathy Hughes. I'd love to have the opportunity. Well, tomorrow, 3 to 4:30 in the Sagamore Ballroom, park number 7, here at the Convention Center, from 3 to 4:30 tomorrow, it's going to be a reception helping to benefit Piney Woods. Miss Hughes says, yeah, you can come meet me, but when the play passes, you better put some Benjamins up in there, and not a $1 Benjamin, 20s, 50s, hundreds, check. You taking credit cards tomorrow, too?
I don't think they'll be taking credit cards, but whatever you can afford, if it's a quarter, please help us to educate our future, our youth. We have got to do something about the dropout rate of our young people. Most of them are not finishing high school in this day and time. It's like these Kappa men are all college-trained men. If you don't have a college degree in this day and time, you can't get a job. And jobs are already tight. And our kids aren't even finishing high school. I spoke last week, weekend before last, to Judge Perry's chapter of 100 Black Men in Orlando, Florida. And the high school that they adopted had an 85% dropout rate. Can you imagine? Now they have an 85% graduation rate because of 100 Black Men. So I just want to say to you, please come and support Piney Woods School. It's a boarding school. We take children. They don't pay anything. All they have to do is have a desire to learn. And once again, I'm glad you said Mickey D's was one of your favorite. I just want to thank the black owners in the McDonald's Corporation, because also something a lot of black people don't know. The McDonald's Corporation is the only corporation in America that has a multitude of black millionaires as a result of those franchises. It has created more black wealth than any other corporation in America.
And you probably didn't know this, when they had their Black Owners Convention here in Indianapolis, what was it, Liz, last year? We broadcast live from there, because we do a lot of things that are breaking barriers, not only here in Indianapolis, but breaking barriers, trying to make the other 53 stations in Radio 1 jealous. Saying, why does Amos do everything and have all the fun? Well, tell them they can have fun like we're doing here, serving people. It's an honor, ma'am, to have you on the program. And obviously, it's your house. You are welcome back at any time.
Thank you, and I'm so glad that Deanna Williams, my dear sister, she and I have been together since my early days at WHUR. I'm the proud godmother to all three of her wonderful children. You can hear her every Sunday on WRNB in Philadelphia. If you're in the area from 10 to 3, check her out. Deanna Williams, with all due respect to you, Amos Brown, is the best broadcaster I've ever in my life heard.
You online? What's the website so everybody can hear you and try to judge it for themselves now?
The website for 107.9 is rnbphilly.com, and we stream worldwide on the internet.
Well, we stream too. See, we don't make those streams, and the internet people get mad at us.
Now that was first take. Second take is Amos Brown. Take two is the greatest broadcaster I have ever heard. And the next person to pay me $50, I'll say the same thing about you.
I promised Miss Hughes' office she had to get somewhere else in the convention center by 3, and I don't want her assistants to get mad. Oh, that reception. We're not done here. Yeah, I'm trying to get you guys to your spot. I still got callers to talk to.
I love you, Amos Brown, and I agree with Aretha Franklin. You are the bomb.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. 239-1310, 239-1310, our founder, Kathy Hughes. Let me go to the phones, and Greg has been waiting patiently. Greg, thanks for waiting.
How you doing today, Amos?
You know, when you talk to the big boss, you know.
Yeah, I know.